Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1. I'm David Martin Davies. A local nonprofit, A New Life for a New Generation, has a mission to help low-income families with support for newborns and provide alternative to abortion counseling. But an investigation by KSAT 12 TV reporter Dylan Collier found some expenditures that are raising concerns, and Collier joins us now to explain. And Dylan, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks for having me, David.
Do want to point out that we did reach out to A New Life for a New Generation to come on the air and help us understand what is happening with these expenditures and what their mission is and how they go about with that mission. And the phone lines are open. If they're listening and they want to call in, we welcome them. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You could also tweet at us at TPRSource and email us at thesource@tpr.org. And so, Dylan, tell us about your investigation into A New Life.
Well, David, we had someone from the organization reach out to us in the fall, and the key for us was the ability that we had to get close to 2 years of financial records for the nonprofit, and having those coupled with records that are public related to how much in reimbursements the nonprofit gets, as well as totals for paycheck protection program loans, as well as this application for an industrial hemp license, we were able to really paint a picture of what's going on within that organization.
As of right now, has A New Life or anyone who works there or is in charge, have they been charged with a crime?
No.
Okay. So what we do have, though, is some very interesting financials looking at how they're spending money. What did you find?
We found that in many months they get reimbursements through the Texas Pregnancy Care Network, which is the one of the administrators for alternatives to abortion in Texas. New Life gets reimbursements that are well in excess of $100,000. They don't do a lot in terms of grants. They've been given several 100 bottles of prenatal vitamins. They've had a small grant here or there, but a vast majority of their funding comes through Texas Health and Human Services Commission, and it's administered by TPCN. And we found this organization using a lot of its funding to fund out-of-state trips. Markeisha Reed, the president and founder of A New Life for a New Generation, was part of two trips to Las Vegas over the last couple of years. There was a trip to Miami, a trip to San Juan, Puerto Rico, as well as a trip just in the last few months, sort of towards the end of summer, to a spa and resort north of Houston on Lake Conroe, in a trip that came at a time when the finances for A New Life for a New Generation were really in a bad place. They had a negative account balance for part of the month and were consistently being hit with overdraft fees because they did not have enough money to cover some of their other expenses.
You also report on something about a CBD shop. I mean, that is weird. Tell me about that.
So last summer, according to state records, Reed opened a CBD smoke and vapor shop on Acme Road, which is about a block from New Life's primary location on West Commerce. New Life has two locations, one on Commerce and then one on the east side on Hackberry. So the smoke shop opens over the summer. People are brought in to refurbish the property and essentially turn it into a smoke and vape shop. And the records we have show that in one instance, The person who did a lot of the remodeling accepted a payment for some of that work through a check that was written by New Life and was not written by Reed or by someone outside of the organization. This was a check that the person accepted that had New Life written on it. And then in another instance, a contractor took a check from New Life for $20,000, cashed it, and then in an interview with us said that he gave that money back to Reed and then kept $1,000. And the check said that was to repair water damage, but the landlord for New Life's West Side location said that he paid for the water damage. Happened during the winter storm, and that it was just a few thousand dollars to replace some sheetrock and replace a pipe that burst.
Where did that money come from? Was that for some sort of program to help businesses or nonprofits that were hit hard during the winter storm?
No, this looks like just a standard $20,000 check that was written out of New Life's primary bank account.
So when you talk to New Life and Reed, who is the, what is her title over there?
She's the president and founder of A New Life for a New Generation, and they've had tax-exempt status with the IRS since September of 2016.
I'm sure I've seen your reports. You show that you have tried to talk to her and get her to explain to you what these expenditures are and why this falls in line with their mission. And what did she tell you?
We were able to ask her about the piece of property that was purchased by New Life. This was a vacant lot, also near their West Side location on Commerce. In state records from the Department of Agriculture show that that lot was registered with their industrial hemp program to grow hemp, and it's a one-year license that runs from August 2021 to August 2022. She looked at the deed records, which are another public record that shows her signature on it, and said she'd be willing to talk to us about this situation and how the funds were used for this purchase, and then walked inside the smoke shop, locked the door, and we haven't heard from her since.
Is CBD, is that part of alternative to abortion?
Absolutely not. Alternative to abortion is a state program created in 2005 that, to its name, was brought about to help young mothers find a different path other than having an abortion. They provide diapers, formula, counseling in its early stages when the budget was much more smaller. It was a lot of pamphlets and paperwork that was handed out to young mothers. And we found absolutely no records at any point over the last few months showing that CBD or hemp has absolutely anything to do with that state program.
Now, the Texas Attorney General's office, have you been in communication with them about what the finances look like at New Life?
We got a tip last fall that the Attorney General's office had been made aware of the same financial irregularities that we found in the financial documents. The AG's office confirms that they received a complaint in mid-October. They released some records to us, basically a snapshot of A New Life for a New Generation, when it became a nonprofit, what its mission is, how it receives its funding through reimbursements, but have not commented publicly on the status of their investigation or whether they're even pursuing a case against Reed or A New Life for a New Generation. And we've seen this before. We did a story a few years ago involving a similar issue at Edison High School, and we didn't hear much from the AG's office, and then sort of out of nowhere they brought the hammer down and went after one of the main folks involved in that.
All right, we've got to take a break. Dylan Collier is with us. He's an investigative reporter, top notch at KSAT 12 TV. talking about his investigation into a new life for a new generation, an alternative to abortion state-funded program. When we come back, we're going to be joined by State Representative Donna Howard to talk more about that program. Stay with us.
Volunteers work hours to fill out over 3,000 toe tags in an effort to put a face on migrant deaths.
People are, through their labor, through their handwriting, are breathing some life into this database of deceased individuals.
Anthropologist Jason De Leon talks about death, migration, and hope. Next time on Fronteras, I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a program that the state funds. It's called Alternative to Abortion. We have a local nonprofit that's part of that program. Dylan Collier investigated them. It's called A New Life for a New Generation. He found multiple curious expenditures in their finances. He's looking for answers. And so, Dylan, I'm going to bring in State Representative Don Howard right now. But first, I want to make clear for you, you don't have an ideological bent into your reporting. It's just the fact that this is, they receive state funds, they have a mission, and it seems like those state funds are not going towards that mission. Is that it?
Absolutely. I mean, I attempt to play it right down the middle. Every single story that I do, we didn't, if you look at our two stories that we've done so far, which total about 13 minutes of television time, which is an eternity in the broadcast TV world, we didn't spend a lot of time on the fact that this is a program that was created, so to speak, to prevent abortions in the state of Texas. You know, we really tried to focus on what were the reimbursement amounts, how much money comes in, and how was that money actually spent.
All right, so let's go to State Representative Donna Howard, a Democrat from Austin. She's the chair of the Texas Women's Health Caucus, and she is representative for District 48. And Representative Howard, welcome to The Source.
Thanks, David.
So this program, this alternative to abortion program that we have in the state of Texas, we have seen it just grow and grow and grow every legislative session. It's now in the current biennium budget, going to receive $100 million. And there's a lot of questions about how that money is actually being spent and what we are getting for that money. What are your concerns?
Exactly what you just said. Especially in light of the fact that we have some serious needs for women's health care that are not being met right now. We could certainly use those funds to actually address the maternal morbidity and mortality issue that we have in our state. The fact that only a small percentage of those eligible are participating in the women's health program that actually delivers health care. And instead, we're seeing $100 million go towards a program that has basically no accountability and oversight, that has no metrics that indicate that they are meeting their goals. And it really appears to be more of a political maneuver, something that can be used on campaign flyers to say, you know, we increased funding to prevent abortions. There's no data to support that that's even happening.
So it's the spectacle of governing, but not actual governing.
I think that's a fair thing to say. In light of the report that you were just discussing with KSAT, the fact is that we see that there is no real accountability here, no real oversight going on. If this kind of egregious situation can occur, we have basically four contracts with subcontractors under those, and the primary contractor, Texas Pregnancy Care Network, is the one that is responsible for the report you heard about today. They were at one time the only provider, the only contractor as part of this program until I think it was about 2017 when finally we got the agency to actually put out a bid, if you will, to seek other contractors and do an actual procurement. It's been really a very strange process. It's not at all like any of the other programs that I'm aware of.
So the big question I have, and so Texas SB 8 it passed. We're going to have a hearing on it on Friday. Maybe I'll get some questions for you about that. But first of all, Texas essentially has eliminated, outlawed abortion in Texas. Why do we need an alternative to abortion program if Texas outlaws abortion?
I think that's a fair question. I want to go back to just saying, though, in terms of reducing abortions, again, reiterate that there's no data, there's no metrics here whatsoever to indicate that what currently exists is even having any impact whatsoever on abortions. That being said, yes, it is the situation we're in right now is such that it appears that not only will we have very limited access to abortion, but basically no abortion in the not so distant future if the Supreme Court rules as we expect that they will. It would seem that this program would have no purpose whatsoever at that point.
Dylan Collier, in your reporting, so the funding for this alternative abortion is often called it's an anti-poverty program that they're seeking to assist families that have trouble buying diapers and formula and other things like that, which I think is a great program to have. We need to do everything we can to help young families. Did you see much activity along those lines?
David, I saw a few purchases that seem to be in line with the mission. New Life has a somewhat significant social media presence where they are advertising for diaper drives, and they do take part in a few programs. They take part in Breastfeeding Week with the city of San Antonio, although the city was very quick to point out that they do not provide any funding whatsoever to a New Life. So it does look like there are some services provided to people, but certainly not at the level of $120,000 to $130,000 in reimbursements per month, which is what we saw in the financial statements.
Representative Donna Howard, what would you like to see done with the legislature? I mean, we have conservatives running the state of Texas. They say they're fiscal conservatives. They want to make sure that a dollar allocated goes to the mission. What do you want to see them do?
Well, I think to your point, we obviously need transparency here, and we need clear metrics and oversight if we're going to have any programs with taxpayer dollars funding those programs. But if the bottom line really here is to, as they state in their mission statement and their goals, to improve pregnancy outcomes, improve child health and development, improve families' economic self-sufficiency, those kinds of things, there's nothing that they're doing right now to indicate that they're meeting those goals or even addressing those goals in any way. We have evidence-based programs that we're already working with, like the Nurse Family Partnership, like Family Connects. Those are programs that are evidence-based that actually address the healthcare needs of new moms, where they're pregnant, when they have their babies, and help them become healthy and self-sufficient. So let's funnel these dollars into something that we can all agree on in a bipartisan fashion, actually addresses the goals that are stated here.
Representative Howard, defenders of this program say that it's like asking how many shipwrecks did a lighthouse prevent. You never know how many abortions were prevented or how many people were lifted up out of poverty by these programs. But I would say you certainly don't know if you don't ask questions or hold some sort of asking people to be accountable for their expenditures.
Exactly. Exactly. You're absolutely correct about that. And, you know, the metrics that they do have indicate a certain number of services provided at least half of those services provided, quote, services, are basically handing out a pamphlet. Part of it is answering the phone and scheduling. These are counted as the client service units. So I get that statement about, you know, you don't know how many you actually averted, but if you don't even ask the person if they were planning to have an abortion in the first place, and oh, by the way, this program is also open to adoptive parents. It's open to those that are foster parents. It's open to the family members of clients. So when you're talking about the number of clients being served, there's not even any breakdown to tell you how many of them are actually coming in that are pregnant. So, you know, it's just mind-boggling that this kind of lack of clarity, lack of accountability is being allowed to be paid for with taxpayer dollars. And yet we have so much great need. We could do so many more things with these dollars to help these young families.
Now, there's been some research that shows that many of these organizations will spend 100 times more on abortion alternative counseling than they actually spend on providing free diapers and baby formula. And so is that something that a metric could have been established in the legislation to make sure that more money goes towards actual helping of young families than of trying to talk them out of abortion?
Well, one of the things that we did get added at some point here to the budget was that they had to actually make referrals to the programs that currently exist, the Healthy Texas Women Program, the Medicaid programs, to make sure that actual healthcare services can be delivered. They weren't doing that. They are now giving us some reporting about that, about how many actually enrolled. Their goal is only a paltry 20% that they're supposed to even meet to have achieved their goal. But so they are at least making those referrals. But we had to add that. We have to keep going after them to get any kind of information that gives us any indication of anything being done that's helpful. But yes. Certainly, I have offered many suggestions of metrics that we could use. They've basically all been turned down.
So, Dylan Collier, in your reporting at KSET 12 TV, looking at these finances at A New Life for a New Generation, what does it look like is it business as usual over there? Have they changed their ways? Have things developed since you began your reporting?
As far as I can tell, it's been business as usual. Like I said, there isn't a ton of work that actually is done towards the stated mission. And without any sort of interjection by law enforcement or Texas Health and Human Services Commission or the TPCN, there really isn't any motivation for things to change until that happens.
Representative Howard, are you concerned that perhaps the Attorney General's office is not so keen on prosecuting financial abuses with this alternative to abortion fund because it could blemish this program that conservatives seem to like so much?
I don't know that to be the case, but that would not surprise me if it were. You know, I do wonder where this Planned Parenthood that was caught up in something like this, we would probably be hearing loudly and clearly from a lot of my colleagues about this egregious misuse of tax dollars. We're not hearing anything right now. And one of the things that my office is attempting to do, we have followed up some with the AG's office and with HHSC. We intend to be more assertive about that and see if we can get some answers here and how we can move forward.
Dylan Collier, I mean, there's bad actors all over the place. Do you think that this is just one bad actor in a program that otherwise doing a lot of good, or what's your take?
Probably not. And we've asked Health and Human Services Commission for data for all of its administrators and all of its subcontractors statewide, because we'd like to take a look at that. But I think that this is certainly an egregious example of it. A story that was incredibly complex to put together because there were so many things going on that really were not in line with the mission.
Donna Howard, I have about a minute left. I want to ask you really quickly about on Friday, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Fifth Circuit Court will be looking at the abortion SB 8, and there's some questions about whether or not that will actually be a fair hearing, asking for it to be sent to district court. And you have commented on that on your Twitter feed. What are your concerns?
Well, it's only a very narrow avenue for being able to sue and prevent the implementation of SB 8. The expectation is that the Fifth Circuit is going to rule against this, which basically cuts off all options. And so this really is the end of the road, I think, from what I'm understanding from those that are in the lawyers that are involved with this, and that we are going to be waiting to see what the Supreme Court does. But things are not looking very hopeful at this point in time.
All right. State Representative Donna Howard, District 48 in Austin, Chair of the Texas Women's Health Caucus. Thank you so much. Dylan Collier, ACE investigative reporter for KSAT 12 TV. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about schools dealing with teachers not able to show up or walking off the job because of COVID concerns. We'll be right back.